bless you guys. Was that fun or what? This was fun. That was worth the flight right there. I'm just telling you, that was. And you talk about this young lady singing with all your heart. Huh? That impressed me. That was singing with all your heart right there, wherever you are. Thank you for doing that. That blessed me. It's nothing like loving Jesus that way. Honestly, I believe for a long time that worship is a gift to us. It's for us. Sometimes we think it's for God, you know. We say, well, we're going to minister to the Lord. I think worship's for us because it keeps who He is in front of us. Yeah? Keeps your eyes, your confession, your heart fixed on truth. So truth can keep you in that place of freedom. I don't think the Lord's sitting around moping saying, I wish somebody'd build me up. Tell me who I am. He had no trouble answering Moses when Moses asked him who's sending me, right? He said, I am. That's pretty impressive. I really think worship's for us. Amen. You know, you get alone and you spend time like we just spent corporately, and you get alone and you start letting these truths just roll out of your lips from your heart and start believing them, and watch how grace makes those things your reality. There's something about you and me being alone with Him. This corporate setting's amazing. I think the corporate setting will get more incredible as we get more reality and revelation in our personal lives, because then there's a synergism that just goes kabang when we're together. It's never just a worship service. It's a true relational expression of joy and thanksgiving. And I mean, when you start singing about my sin, not in part, but in whole. He nailed that to the cross and I ain't bearing it no more. When you get that, like when you get that, when you spend time with Him with an unveiled face and start getting that, it's pretty hard to settle down. I was standing beside young Justin here. I looked at his wife. I said, he is possessed with the gospel. And she said, he is possessed with the gospel. It's a good thing to be possessed by. Amen. Something's going to try to own you. Something's going to try to decide who you are and why you are and how you are. I don't know if you realize this. You think you're in control, but there's factors that are governing your life. There's reasons that you are the way you are. There's things you take to heart. There's the way people act, the way people have treated you. By a very young age, life establishes your identity if you're not living strong in the gospel. And the things that happened to you and the way you responded and what didn't happen to you start to decide who you are. It's amazing how things birth desire and responses. You can live discouraged. Discouragement produces things. It births things. You can live insecure and it births things. You can get your esteem rocked by a very young age because two kids laughed at you at school and it hurt your feelings. And next thing you know, that moment is starting to orchestrate and decide who you are. It's like this young lady's painting behind me as I'm talking. There's creativity in her. She's painting. What's in her is coming out of her on the thing. You don't understand that things are trying to make you its portrait and create things in you. God's the great potter. He wants His hand upon your life. You can't say, well, I'd be in a better place if this and this and this wouldn't have happened to me. See, that seems so natural and so normal. But this, this, and this isn't Lord. So why is it governing and fashioning our lives? Why is there other factors deciding who I am if He's the Lord? You follow what I'm saying? It's just important. You want to be sure that your life looks what He paid for and what He created you for. We're going to talk about it all weekend. It'll probably get pretty passionate and pretty awesome and fun. Because He changes our lives, guys. He's not just here to bless us. Some, you know, I realize I'm in Canada. I'm in the U.S. We're neighbors. It almost all seems like one big. You can fly here just as quick as you can fly anywhere in the U.S. anyway. So it's like I don't have to really separate the two. There's a gospel that I call an American gospel that I'm concerned about. I don't know if it's up here or not, but it's a gospel that all its intention is to bless you and to make you feel better. And all of a sudden you're a Christian for your sake and you're incorporating Him into your life in hopes of a better one, a more convenient one, a more protected one, a more provided one. And all of a sudden we get this strange idea that the gospel's here to serve me instead of transform me.
The gospel was never intended to just serve you and meet what you and I call our needs. The gospel's here to restore us back to what it was God intended man to be from the beginning. Jesus was made to be like us. He came as a man to fulfill what man failed. He modeled a life we were created for. And he didn't just say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He's the firstborn among many brethren. It's a big deal to me. We follow him. He's our model for life. Jesus is amazing. He became what we were. He was made to be sin on the cross so we could be empowered to become what he is, a son. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He made us sons. Ephesians says he adopted us in as sons and daughters, predestined us before time to be adopted in as sons and daughters. It's a big deal to me. And I want to encourage you in this that the cross is all about restoring you back to your original value, to the intention of God for man. We've learned things about ourselves that aren't true. We've been trained by life. We've been trained by a wisdom called the wisdom of the world, the spirit of this age. Proverbs calls it twice in two chapters, 14 and 16, the way that seemeth right to a man. And that's what makes it so dangerous, because it seems right. It seems right. There's a way that seemeth right. Well, I can't believe they did that to you. That must have really hurt. Yeah, it broke my heart. Oh, that's a shame. And all of a sudden, we're accommodating things that don't produce life. We're accommodating hurt and offense and pain and brokenness. And we think they're normal facets of life. Why? Because when we were born, we weren't born into Christ. We were born into Adam. We were born into everything he became through separation from God. We were born into a very self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused world. You be real with me tonight. From the time you can remember, as far back as you can comprehend, no matter what your age, you needed to fit in, be loved, feel valued, be accepted. You were very needy like I was. You needed to be loved. And then we take that as normal and natural and say, well, everybody needs love. You get that from him. God is love. You get grafted back into the vine. You have to understand that the cross brings you back to what God started in the beginning. If you read your Bible in Genesis, in the beginning, God said, let us make man what? In our image and in our own likeness. And in his image and likeness, he made male and female, blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He's not just talking about have a bunch of kids, guys. There's a lady that did well. She's got nine. You did well. But there you are. But he's talking about more than just having a bunch of children. He's talking about multiplying the image. Cover the earth with his glory. The psalmist he's writing. He says, what is man? What is this about man? What is man that you're mindful of him? Who is this man that you would visit him? That you'd give him dominion over the works of your hands? That you'd crown him with glory and honor? Who is this man? What do you have? What's this thing you got about man? That's really what he's saying. It's because he created man with great purpose and intention. He made man in his image. He made man with intention, guys. You're not happenstance. You're not here because a man came into a woman. You're here because God saw your day. And before the foundation of the world, predestined you to be adopted as a son, adopted as a daughter. He's the author and giver of life. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born. Here you sit. You're not happenstance. You're not an accident. Your life is the will of God. I'm excited about that. Man, don't you let life teach you something different. God made you to live in you and shine through you. Yeah? Now watch this. He made man in his image. And God is love. We would all say the Bible, you could say he's majesty, he's glory, he's a rock, he's a lot of things. But everything he is and does flows out of who he is, and he is love. God is love. We look at Jesus sometimes in his earthly ministry and at the cross, and we kind of just picture him, and don't turn me off when I say this, hear me out. Don't judge what I'm saying until you hear what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We see him as some extraordinary man, and we say, well, that was Jesus. We make him an exceptional man. We miss the most important part. He's love. The reason he was the way he was, the reason he could endure, the reason he didn't let people change him, the reason he wasn't disheartened and discouraged, it's not because he was Jesus. It's because he was love. That's amazing. He said, follow me. If he was Jesus, if it was because he was a special man, you couldn't follow that. He invited you into something you can become. Here's the deal. God made man in his image, and God is love. The day he ate the tree is the day that all died. So man, in a moment of separation from God and from love, became in need of love, self-centered, self-focused, self-conscious, self-defending, self-protecting. And every man since that day was born into Adam, and you must be born again. And somehow we turn born again into a prayer that blesses me, serves me, satisfies me, and takes me to heaven someday, instead of born again, transforming me, putting heaven back into me so that I can become love and not just need it. Come on. Christianity is becoming love. If we miss becoming love, guys, you read all the scriptures, put them together. If we miss becoming love, we miss the whole point in why he came. He didn't come just to give you everlasting life. You have everlasting life because you're one with the Father and he's eternal. Everlasting life was already in the picture. Adam, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Jesus is the Redeemer. He's just restoring everything that we're lost. We make eternal life the carrot. A transformed life is the purpose. So yay, you get everlasting life. I'm happy for you. Your name is in the book of life. I'm not being sarcastic. That's amazing. That is not the only reason he came. So you can have everlasting life and still be mad at your neighbor and fuss your spouse and live in pride. That's not cool because that's not a light shining. And all of a sudden we get reduced to coming to Jesus for what he can do for us instead of how he can make us more like him by his Spirit. And we need to teach that from the rooftops. Because that's what brings peace into my home. That's what brings peace into my heart. When I don't wake up and live for me and think for me, the burden and the bondage is gone and removed. And all of a sudden I'm not self-conscious, self-focused, and self-centered. If I wake up to shine, if I wake up to love you, if I wake up to be like him, I'm as free as they come. Because all of a sudden you don't owe me a thing because I've become something and I'm drawing it from him and now it flows through me. Do you get it? Come on. The gospel wants to change your reason for being. The why behind your life. Why you woke up this morning. Why you're alive. People say, I'm still trying to figure that out. It's found through him. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. He's the way back to the Father. We make him the way to heaven. And nobody comes to the... He's the way back to union and relationship and communion with God, that place where I'm changed. We make him the way to heaven. He brings us back to the Father. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction is love. The whole purpose of the commandment, it says, is love. Comes through a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere, unfeigned, childlike faith. Colossians says, above all, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. 1 Corinthians 13 says that the greatest of these is love. It says, I can have knowledge of all mysteries, faith to move every mountain. If I don't have love, I've missed the point and have nothing. Be real with me. knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move every mountain is an icon to us. That's the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. And the Bible says if he has not love, he's missed the point and has nothing. Guess what love is? Doesn't seek its own. Takes no account of the wrong done to it. Whoa. What's love? Doesn't seek its own. Takes no account of the wrong done to it. I just pulled two out of the hat. It's other things. It rejoices in truth. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Doesn't puff itself up or parade around. I know the scriptures, but I pulled two out. It doesn't seek its own. And takes no account of the wrong done to it. We give ourselves away in the house of God when we're hurt, offended, broken, taken back by one another. Can't believe they said that. Can't believe they did that. Letting our identity, our disposition, our motivation be decided by the things around us instead of the one in us. Are you guys with me? Come on, I want you challenged. I don't want you to live in weakness. I don't want you to let something matter more that doesn't matter most. You guys with me? Come on, we've learned to live in a wisdom that's not God. We've been trained by a lie. We've been homeschooled in the wrong home. It's time to come back to the Father. So what is the cross? A restoration back to his image, back to his nature, back to communion with the Spirit, and back to love. I'm getting grafted back in to the vine. He is the vine and we are the branch. Where's the fruit grow? On the branch. And in this the Father is well pleased that you bear much fruit and your fruit remain. Your fruit is your love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. And everyone who loveth is born of God and knows God. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Doesn't say you don't pastor, lead worship, or go on a mission trip now and then. Says the measuring stick of knowing God is your love. And it says if you... This is amazing. One reason, not one of three. It's not multiple choice. One reason. If you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know God. I didn't say you don't believe Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and you don't see your need for a Savior and you're not sincere. But knowing God transforms you. And the whole goal of knowing him is becoming love. And if you don't love, the Bible makes it very simple. Time to get to know him more. Which means I can't know him and not be changed by him. So he's not talking about quoting the Bible. He's not talking about going to seminary. He's not talking about attending church every Sunday, which I wish we all would. Come to be shaped and molded and stirred in love and good works. Let's get off of this thing where we're mad at church and pastors in control and I don't need to go to church. You are the church. So we ought to assemble ourselves for a reason called stirring up in love and good works. And then when it's like a football huddle, we're in here and we break into the world and we go looking a little more like him than when we came. That would probably have some impact if that was our goal. Instead of learning how to do church without becoming her, don't you let anything take the place of knowing him in your life. You can let church attendance take the place of knowing him. You can let your gift take the place of knowing him. You can let this thing tonight and worship and the ministry take the place. I can let preaching on a pulpit take the place of knowing him. Yeah? Don't you let anything take the place of knowing him. Because to know him is to become like him. And if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. Wow. That's Bible. That's not my sermon. That's right in your Bible. I've met people in my life that quote the scriptures like ridiculous. And they're mean people. And they use their knowledge. It's puffed them up. They use it like a club. And they're controlling or works driven or legalistic, and there's no compassion whatsoever. The Bible, their knowledge of scripture has actually made them so hard that they're mean. Why? Because they know all about God and miss the heart of God. They know what the scriptures say without seeing what they really say through the heart of God. And they're missing the love of God. You know us by our love. We're called to become like him. Listen, the whole reason you woke up this morning, whether you realize it or not, according to the word, is to shine. Not to need, bicker, complain, fuss, want. The whole reason you're alive is to shine. That simplifies it. Let your light so shine before men. Arise, shine, church. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is upon you. Oh yes, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light, it's on you. So why'd you wake up this morning? To shine. Not to need, not to want, not to complain. To shine. We say it this way back home. Mercy woke you up today to give you one more day to be like him. See, life's a gift, not a grind. Life's a gift when you really live by faith and understand why you're here. Life's a gift. And the day you and I let the gospel teach us to wake up and not think for ourselves, but to think for his kingdom and others, is the day you'll experience freedom. Listen, Jesus never said, if anyone come after me in Matthew 16, let him make sure he prays this prayer and assures he goes to heaven. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. That's first, guys. Why deny yourself? Because the Bible teaches you were never made for you. You were made for his image. And the biggest lie on the planet is men living for themselves when they're made for his image. You know what a bigger lie than that is? Men using God for themselves. To where if things don't go the way you prayed, you're not encouraged. If things don't go the way you prayed, you're not praying anymore. And all of a sudden you reduce him to your busboy instead of your father. And now he's your table waiter instead of your king. And if the rent's paid, you got both hands high. But if it ain't paid, that's not a covenant. That's not relationship. That's self-centered misunderstanding. I'm just being honest. And you can tell it's wrong because of what it produces. You can tell if something's right or not by what it produces. If your mindsets aren't producing life and encouraging you and causing your heart to fill with zeal, then thoughts can't be from the Lord and they can't be truth. Truth brings freedom. If your mindset's not bringing freedom, you're not thinking truth. Are you guys with me? You're just kind of looking at me. I came to bring good news. That you don't have to fret for you, live for you, or think for you anymore, because that's not why you're here. And if you really get that, you won't be mad at each other, hurt at each other, failed expectations, or disappointed. You'll see each other for value, created value, purpose, potential, and you'll continue to walk in love and cheer each other on. And if somebody's really living out of character, instead of crying because of them, you'll start to cry for them. Because if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. And that'll matter to you. And you won't learn how to get frustrated anymore. You'll be changed. Yeah. Thank God he's not frustrated, huh? Do you ever think of this stuff? Do you ever think about the Lord? You say, well, I'm just so mad at them. If they didn't change by now, they're never going to change. They should know better. They've been in church. They grew up in church. They're just doing this on purpose. That's language we've all heard. Could you picture God talking like that? It would sound foolish, huh? Him and Jesus sitting there watching your life when you weren't running so well. Look at that. And you shed your blood for them. And they know better. We convicted them strong last week. I don't know, but I don't even know. We can't even trust them. I'm tired of them having my heart in a yo-yo. It's good I don't slumber because they'd keep me up all night. I just think we ought to just forget about it and move on. Because if they don't love us, why should we love them? And if they didn't change by now, I don't think they're ever going to change. What do you think? I think we ought to move on, Father. Could you picture the Lord talking like that? No, because it's not in love. It's not in his nature. But here's the thing. If it sounds foolish in his mouth, it ought to sound foolish in ours because we're made for his image. And he said, follow me. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Oh. See, I don't know what you were prepared for tonight. Maybe this isn't it, but this is life-giving.
was worth flying here for. The worship was worth flying here for. Honey, you sang with all your heart. You blessed me tonight. You did. She sang with all her heart. Her voice wasn't just good. She sang with all her heart. That's what I noticed. And her voice was great. But man, I heard the heart. What an honor. And there's something about that African accent that gets me. It's just something. I don't know. It's regal or something. There's something about it. I said, I can listen to that all night. I was just having fun, man. I stood up. I was ready to roll. I think we could have kept cheering them on. They'd have kept going, too. We'd still be here. It would have been all right with me. But then again, I do have a couple things to say here. Listen, you check the why behind your life tonight. Maybe you never really thought about it strong. Maybe you just thought, look, I've been a sinner and I need forgiving, because maybe the only way the gospel's ever been presented for you is that Jesus died on the cross because you're a sinner and you need your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven. That's usually what we preach, you know. So we make the cross all about sin instead of the restoration of purpose and value and potential and destiny. And all of a sudden the cross is all about our depravity instead of all about our potential. And if you're not careful, you'll stay in touch with depravity and you'll think your sin waiting to happen, and you'll be amazed that he can still love you and forgive you. And you'll think your ability to sin keeps you a sinner. It's not a thing I'm bearing. We sang it tonight. He nailed it to the tree. Not in part, but in whole. And he delivered me. I'm not waking up afraid to sin, and I'm not waiting for the next time I sin. I'm waking up enjoying being his and being filled with his love, redeemed and washed and accepted in the beloved, fulfilled and satisfied in him, so that I have a healthy view of you and I'm not needy. And all of a sudden I come to church and I don't need you to teach me and tell me who I am by your actions and your words, and I'm not coming for acknowledgement and encouragement and strength. I find that all in the Lord, so I have something to give. And I understand there's a time we get a little and somebody needs to wrap their arm around and cheer us on. But if you come to church to find your identity, you're way out of bounds. You find your identity through him. If you're a part of something and you're finding your identity through that something, you're only as strong as the weakness of it. Come on, if I have needs and expectations placed on you every day and I'm part of your church, I'm setting you up to fail me and disappoint me, and I'm letting what you didn't fulfill decide who and how I am. How can that be right? And yet we think that's true and we think it's normal. It's because we've been tricked finding our value this way. We say, I love you, but what we're really saying is, I need you. I love you. Do you love me? You know what that means? You know what that means? I have this deep emotional thing towards you for my sake. That's why there's so much pain in relationships. Watch, love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Then why are we so busted up? Because maybe we don't understand love. Maybe we have great need. And maybe we're finding ourselves through one another instead of through him. And it might be idolatry, huh? And we might have sincere hearts toward God. And we might see our need for his Savior. But we're not letting his truth save us. And we're still living under the same old way, and he's the way. And all of a sudden, we incorporate a new truth into an old wisdom, and now the old wineskin can't contain the new wine. So we change the wine to suit the skin. Let's be very careful. Are you guys okay? You look really serious. Are you okay? I'm smiling the whole time. I mean, this message makes me happy. It teaches me that I don't have to ever strive for me again and wake up and live for me. If any man come after me, let him first deny. Wow. And then what? Pick up your... What's pick up your cross mean? It means taxi through life and go through everything and don't let life teach you who you are. The one in you already taught you. Right? You don't let sin against you give permission to find sin in you. You don't pay evil for evil. You overcome evil with good. You don't say, well, I'm this way because of, and I'm this way because of, and I'm only feeling this way because they, and they should have never, well, I... Hello? That's idolatry. You're letting something matter more that doesn't matter most.
We sing He's Lord and we let so many other things govern and dictate and decide our life. Ephesians 3 says, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? Study that out. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God filled in you. What's that look like? I looked it up. You know the best English can describe it? A house with no empty rooms. A town with no empty houses. A ship so full of cargo that there's no room to place another box. That means you're completely fulfilled and occupied. No vacancy in your life. How's that sound? Whoa, that doesn't sound needy. I'm not being rude when I say that needy thing. Listen, I'm telling you, we put expectations on each other we aren't even realizing. We just expect things out of people and we're set up to be hurt, disappointed, and let down. And then when they don't fulfill the expectation, we view them as such, and then we give their failure a reason for our disposition. And all of a sudden, we're a product of men once again. But He's amazing. I don't get that. And all of a sudden, you have the ability to come to church, looking for a little prayer. And all of a sudden, you're reduced to the highest grace you can receive is that somebody seems to care. Don't you get reduced to that. You let Him decide who you are and how you are. And you let Him teach you to get your eyes off of you. And you get Christ conscious and Christ focused and the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you start thinking for the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. It doesn't even say your well-being. Oh, I'm going to challenge you a little. And it doesn't say the protection of your family. You don't become a Christian for your sake. You become a Christian for His name's sake. Because if you're a Christian for your sake, in every trial, even the suggestion of a trial, you'll fall apart. And it won't be well with your soul, like we say. And all of a sudden, life is once again dictating who you are and how you are. That's why I said, unless you love less, your mother, your father, these are pretty important folks in most of our lives. Unless you love less, your mother, is there a light following me? Let there be light. You know light is greater than darkness, right? So you know darkness is never the problem. You do know that, right? You can't say, well, the world's getting so dark. Light is greater than darkness. Like those two lights are bright. If I said, whoa, they're too bright. Could somebody please turn up the darkness? It doesn't work that way. Why? Because light's dominant. So if the room gets darker, what happens? Somebody turned down the light. Christians get caught all the time at this. Well, I just can't stand my workplace. It's so dark in there. And I'm tired of hearing the F-bomb every day. And I can't stand it by the end of my shift. I just need a new job. I'm praying for a Christian atmosphere. And I pray God never answers your prayer. And I pray that He balls and chains you to that workplace till you get a revelation and see the value of the people you're being tricked into despising. Because He shed His blood for those people. And forgive them, Father, they know not. Oh, yeah, they know what they're doing. They do it on purpose because they know it gets on my nerves. And all of a sudden, you justify something that doesn't look like Jesus. And prove that you're not living by faith and you don't understand becoming love. And reduce your disposition to how you interpret men. People say, well, they get under my skin. You're supposed to get new skin. Well, they get on my nerves. New nerves. It's new life through Jesus Christ. the old man and his deeds die. That's why we water baptize, guys, so the old dies up with the new, newness of life. Romans 6, resurrection power, yay? Come on, this stuff is not positional. It's expressional and it's realized. Yeah? It's something grace and powers have become, but you have to see it. You have to understand it. We've been taught our whole lives, well, what you don't know won't. See, they don't just say that down in the U.S. It's a universal language. There's a language we've all been trained by. Well, it'd be great if it would happen for you. I mean, I'd be happy, but I'd be careful. If I were you, I wouldn't get my... You all heard that up here in Saskatchewan? Way up here. That language filtered the whole way up. Somebody must have brought it on a plane. Well, you know how it is. What you see is... Wow, you made your bed. You have to... You heard all those phrases way up here. How'd that happen, Pastor? All those little phrases I gave you, the Bible says 180 degrees opposite. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and hope is the anchor of your soul passing through the veil. The Bible said, get your hope up! And in a self-protecting way, a self-nurturing way, well, I wouldn't get my hope up. I hate to see you hurt, let down, disappointed, making it all about you and your fragile, soulical state. Come on. It's self-preserving. That phrase is self-preserving. Well, what you see is what you get. No, the Bible says what you see, you never live by what you see. It's subject to change. The things unseen are eternal. You don't reap what you sow anymore once you repent. You get new life through Jesus Christ. You reap what you sow without repentance. And there's a practical state. If you break a law, you might have to serve a little time. I get that. But you reap what he sowed. You enter into covenant and you're reaping the benefit of what he accomplished. So you got a brand new bed to sleep in. You put off the old, put on the new. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who made you. Colossians 3:10. It's all there. It's Bible. Man, this thing is a far cry from blessing, provision, and take me to heaven. This thing is heaven coming into me and me becoming what I see in him. Whew. Come on, guys. I'd love to challenge you to just challenge yourself that the days of disappointment, frustration, anger, pride, presumption, just strong disagreement. Come on, we can disagree without despising one another. You know, it fascinates me that people sit in the church like they did with Jesus and they watch to see if they agree with everything you say. And then if there's one thing they don't agree with, man, bam, they nail that thing hard. And they do it with intensity and passion and almost as if they despise you for saying it. And I'm like, man, if I'm that lost and wrong, you should be crying for me. Where's your mercy? Like, if I'm that far out of bounds, you ought to be afraid for me. Isn't it amazing how we're quick to just get feelings that aren't good towards people we don't agree with or appreciate? Isn't it amazing how counterproductive our lives have been trained to be? And when you look at the gospel, it's the total opposite. You be real with me. See, I came to challenge you tonight. I didn't really know exactly what I was going to say, but probably had an idea. I knew I'd be walking in the light. It's just a good contact point of faith here for me. I can't escape the light. The light, it's my destiny. I feel so bright. You ought to come out of that darkness I see out over there. Come into the light, guys. We have an altar call. We'll all crowd right here in the circle. See, when you stand up here, it's so bright, and there's a darkness over the people. See, you got to run out of that thing. I'm just kidding you. Wow. Well, what you don't know won't. Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, in all you're getting, get what? understanding, and yet you grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. What a perverse lie. What you don't know won't hurt you. And the Bible says you're being destroyed by it. Do you think we were trained by a language that wasn't God? Watch this one. Can I just, are you guys, you won't pop tonight. I've stretched you a little bit. I can feel it, but it's good stretch. It feels like a good stretch. I don't think anybody's hurting stretched. Can I stretch you just a little bit more on something? People believe, they give themselves away. They just, well, how do I just shut off my emotions? I can't, I'm not a robot, God. And they get frustrated when they're telling you sometimes. See, well, they hear you preach. You make it sound so simple. You can't just turn off and now do you not get angry. I have emotions. God gave me emotions. And they're expressing that they believe that. God gave me emotions. And here's what I tell them all the time. I say, man, don't give him credit for your emotions. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. All your emotions flow out of the foundation of self-centered thinking. Come on. Bible talks about getting renewed in the spirit of your mind. Bible talks about the salvation of your soul, not your spirit. Your mind and your emotions. Now you think with me. Before you could speak English or what? French. Right? I got to do that. I'm in Canada. Before you could speak English or French or any language, you were angry. Before you could speak, you were angry. That cute little baby that was up here walking around, I just loved it. Did you see her? Mom was videoing her and she's looking at the worst. She's just precious. She just wants to squeeze her. But you take that binky out of her mouth when she ain't ready to give it. And all of a sudden she'll turn colors you're not supposed to be. And maybe not her, but you know what I mean. They can't even speak English, but you see something in their nature that God didn't create. Because they were born into Adam and they must be born. It's amazing how we made the carrot of born again everlasting life. Instead of transformation of life. So we all have this claim of going to heaven without heaven flowing through us. If we're not careful. And all of a sudden, we're just as mad, just as angry, just as spiteful, just as right. But we have a confession of everlasting life. And we prayed a prayer that sealed it. I bet that's not what transforms the world. I bet you becoming love does a better job. This is how I know I'm right on this thing. There's churches all over the place, guys. We could fill them every Sunday. Going to church will never change the world. Becoming love has to. So maybe the reason we go to church is to become her, not do her. Are you guys okay? So this emotional thing, let's talk about it a little. All the emotions you and I were trained by, they just came by instinct. You take a two-year-old and a two-year-old, they're playing. Their moms are Jesus fanatics. They just love the Lord. They're like sipping tea. Jesus, yes, Jesus. And they just can't even barely say his name. I'm serious. I know people like this. They've been touched by the Lord. They're possessed. Oh, you're getting there. That look in your eye. 2 years old. They're just sitting, playing. They are the sweetest moms. Never even raise their voice at their kids. They just nurture and love, gentle to their husbands. And they're sitting there sipping their tea, crying over Jesus, reading scripture. And there's two little kids that are playing with toys. And there's a little toy in the middle nobody's paid no attention to. And all of a sudden the one drops their toy and picks it up. And the other one goes, drops their toy and grabs the other side of it. Do you ever see this kind of stuff? It's just there. Nobody taught them that. It's just every man for himself. It's from the beginning of the fall, but not the beginning. The beginning was love. The fall was I need it now because I got cut off from it. Adam went from being love to cut off from it and needing it. We were born into needing it. So we get real psychological with our Christianity and we all make it about us needing love. And it keeps us needy and it keeps us unfulfilled and it keeps us in weakness. And it sets people up to fail us. And it gives us a right to have a right. Wonder if you didn't wake up to be loved. Wonder if the gospel taught you to wake up to be love, not be loved. Do you think the goal is being loved by God or becoming the love of God? It's the higher goal. So wonder if the whole world is loved by God and we're not transformed. How's that changed the world? How's that shine light? It's amazing. We give ourselves away. We talk about an offense and they say, well, it's hard. I'm trying to forgive. Things take time. Just give me time. I'm trying to forgive. And I'm thinking, if you're trying to forgive, you're not forgiving. Why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness? Because we've been trained by self-centeredness. And we think it's right. You've been emotionally trained to react, to be angry, to be frustrated. Nobody had to go to school and crash the books to be frustrated. Nobody had to take a test on anger and hope they didn't fail. Come on. It came with the package called the fall of man. The Bible talks about living by faith and getting the salvation of your soul in Hebrews 10 and 1 Peter 1. It says the consummation of your faith in 1 Peter 1 is the salvation of your soul. Hebrews 2 says we don't draw, or 10 says we don't draw back into destruction. Those who draw back go into destruction. We're those who move forward by faith to the saving of our soul. There's redemption of your emotions. Love changes how you respond. See, when you love, you have mercy towards people. When it's about you, you're frustrated with the thing the other person has mercy towards. And that's what makes us different from God if we don't become love. We think he's so different than us, but he made us in his image and he's in us and Christ in you is the hope of glory. You guys getting this? So he calls us his embodiment. He calls us the body of Christ. Whoa. He says, Father, I pray that they become one like we're one. Because if they become one like we're one, John 17, then the whole world will know you sent your son. Come on. I've given you a few scriptures on this tonight. I've been reading that book up there behind me. I've been checking it out. Puts a smile in my face, in my heart. 22 years ago, that book taught me how to not live for me. And then I realized what freedom was. For the first time in my life, I got a good look at how God saw me. And I ain't kidding you guys, it gave me the best look at you I've ever had. Because I realized if he sees me that way, he sees you that way. So he didn't just change me, he changed my view. He changed my motive, he changed my life. Guys, I flew up here because I wanted to. I knew you'd be here, I was right. I flew here because I wanted to. I'm not mandated. I don't have to be here. I didn't sign some contract. It's not about money. If it was about money, I'd take churches that told me they had several thousand people or something. And I'd probably put little clauses on taking my own offering. And I'm not here for that. I bought my own plane ticket. I do it everywhere I go. I don't turn in reimbursements. I'm here for the kingdom. There's a such thing as purity and truth and real. And if I really believe what I'm saying, then I'm happy to be here. You get it? He tried to pull it on me a while ago. He's just being good. He said, hey, I know you probably would. I mean, what was your plane ticket? I need to know what your plane ticket cost. I said, you need to know what my plane ticket cost. Jesus got my plane ticket. Churches email me, how much will it cost to bring you in? Probably whatever time it took to ask. I don't come for honorariums and offerings. I don't. I don't come with a reimbursement sheet. I come with a heart that's full of faith. And I believe that the thing I believe is for you too. And I'm here to cry it out and compel you. Your life is worth living and this thing is true for you. And here's the good news. It's not hinged to any other factor of your life. If you'll really open your heart and listen to what I'm preaching, it separates you from every false lie and justification and excuse for not becoming like him. Because it separates you from every other factor, because you can steward your own heart and you can live by faith. Even if your whole family wants nothing to do with Jesus, you can still become like him. Or you can make your life contingent on everything around you and stay in weakness. That's your choice. Or you come out from among them and be ye separate, and he'll be your father and you'll be his people. You can't say, yeah, but my spouse. We're not talking about your spouse. We're talking about Christ in you. For like 6 years, my spouse was in identity crisis and believed that people said hi to her because they really liked me. That's a good way to shatter your identity. She felt like every hi, Kim, was rhetorical and just insincere. And after a while, I'm pastoring, and she won't even come to church. And if you don't understand what I'm preaching, you're pressured by that, hurt by that, frustrated by that, and you're calling your pastor friend saying, we need a breakthrough. If she don't change soon, I don't know how long I can hold up, brother. Are you kidding me? My wife doesn't hold me up. I love my wife. Neither does that step there. That was right on time. See? It's all superficial. Nothing holds you up but him. Come on, if I let my well-being depend on my spouse and I'm married for my sake, I'm as good as she's treating me. But if I'm married because I love her, then I treat her like Christ treats the church. And she doesn't have to be right to be loved. Oh, I can feel that in the room. See that? I have fun with that. Because we tend to believe different. Wonder if you'd cut every string of 50-50 and give and take, and you do for me and I do for you. I wonder if you just walk like Jesus and lay down your life. I wonder what that would accomplish. Because in those 6 years, you say 6 years is a long time, brother. Truth doesn't know time. Self-centeredness is very aware of time. But truth doesn't know time. Oh, see, there ain't no way around this. Oh, Matt, this is solid. Truth doesn't know time. You say 6 years is a long time. A long time to what? Love? Show mercy? Be like Jesus? Wonder if God looked at your life and said 6 years is a long time. Done waiting. Hello? Well, I'm just going to give up. Well, I don't know why they won't change. Well, I've had enough. Wonder if the Lord embraced that language. Oh, I'm challenging you a little, and I'm getting a little straight on it. I'm not mad at you. I'm just getting sober. Because we've bought into a language that's very self-serving. Well, how long do I got to wait? Well, what am I supposed to put up with? Well, how much am I supposed to... If God spoke like that for a day, we're hopeless. And if Jesus thought like that at all, he never goes to the cross. In fact, he never even comes. Who's ever read the scripture in the Bible where Jesus is heading to Golgotha and he starts getting analytical and thinking about the situation a little bit? And he says, wait a minute, I'm the Lord, I'm the King of the universe. Look what they've done to me. Throws down the cross. Stupid cross. I ain't carrying this thing anymore. God, look at me. Look how they've battered me and beat me. For what? Doing good? Feeding their hungry? Raising their dead? Healing their sick? Look at me. God, if they didn't change by now, they ain't gonna change. And I don't know what we see. Barabbas, are you kidding me? Barabbas. He kills a man. I raise the dead. He causes Moses conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. This ain't cutting it, man. If they hit me with one more stick. See? Who can picture Jesus talking like that? You know why he can't? Not because he's Jesus. Because he's love. And he said, follow me. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Or you could believe your adverse feelings. You could believe somebody else's life. You could believe your circumstances. Or you could believe him. He's the author of your faith. Probably ought to keep your eyes on him so he can be the finisher of it too. Boy, I feel a good, healthy conviction in the room. That's good. No, it's good. I'm excited about what I perceive in the room. You guys are really, really listening. Listen, this is not about who is and who isn't. It's about who he is and in you. It's not about who's what and who's not. And will they? Well, yeah. Push it all aside. The yeah buts. The justifications to stay the same. Assuring tomorrow is always yesterday. Let's get rid of that. And let's become like him. You say, well, nobody's going to turn me into a doormat. Jesus was not a doormat. He's the living epistle of love. And he overcomes evil with good. And if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He didn't say, what a bunch of jerks. Come on. Here's my question. Are we following Jesus? Or are we trying to tap into him for gain and for our sake? Or are we following him? Because following him means laying down your life so his overtakes you. Following him is denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus. You can't pick up your cross if you don't deny yourself. And I'm just going to say it straight and plain since I already talked that way all night. If you're a Christian for you and your sake, you're in for a long, hard ride. Because it's not why we're Christians. There's no grace on that. It's frustrating. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're going to live way up and down. But if you're a Christian for his name, it changes integrity and character, purpose and motive. If you're a Christian for his name and the sake of others, it changes everything. So you have to question, what did I get saved to? What did I become through my salvation? Or did I just pray a prayer to assure that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven? Or did I understand I'm becoming something that shines? And that never again am I repaying evil for evil. But I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm going to tone down a harsh word with a kind word. I'm going to lay down my life and love. It doesn't make you weak. That makes you like him. And I promise you, he isn't weak. Devils freak out about what I'm preaching. Because they can't stop him. Because he's love. They can't make him mad at you. They can't change him. That's why he has the power to change you.
Yay.
So if they can't change his image, guess whose image they'll try to change? You and me. And guess what they believe? If you read the book of Job, guess what the devil believes? He doesn't believe you love God. He believes you need God. And he believes you're a Christian for your sake and for what you can get from God. And he believes that if your life isn't blessed, you'll curse God to his face like every other man. Because every man for himself. It's right in your Bible. Chapter 2, skin for skin. A man will do anything to save himself. That's what the devil believes about us. He's not impressed with our worship. He's impressed when you lay down your life because then he has nothing to work with. The ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Why could Jesus say that? Because he's Jesus? Because his life was laid down. Yeah? Wonder if you lay down your life and he has nothing to work with. And you're not unaware of his devices and you give him no place. And the evil one touches you not because you're living in purity. And you keep yourself. Wonder if it's possible to live that way. Yay. Listen, I'm just cheering you on in what is possible and what you're called to and created for. I flew all the way up here to tell you Jesus shed his blood so you could walk in his image and become like him and walk in his love. Firstborn among many, predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, Romans 8. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. How? By filling you with the same spirit that raised him from the dead. You've been a house fit for a king and might not even realize it. Prime real estate. He paid the highest price to obtain you. Paul said, there's one thing I'm going to do to lay a hold of the reason he laid a hold of me for. That means Paul knew that Jesus laid a hold of him with intention. Not just to preserve him for the future, but with purpose. And he said, the one thing I do to lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of me for is I forget what lies behind and I reach to what lies ahead. Yes. Don't you let yesterday matter more than who you've become. Did you hear me? Don't you let yesterday matter more than who you've become. Don't you say, well, it was tough growing up in my house. Well, you're 42. You're not growing up. Christ is in you. Listen, I'm sorry. It was bad in a lot of our houses. You say, yeah, but I was touch drunk. So was other people in this room. Stop making your story the worst to you when other people have been through hell too. It's all about the heaven that's here now, not the hell we've been through. I'm just telling you. Look, I can be honest with you without pulling a sad story. My dad was an alcoholic, touched wrong at a very young age, grew up in the city, poverty stuff. I got a story too, but you can't see that because you're not supposed to. The Christian testimony is no smell of smoke. Nebuchadnezzar's always throwing us in fires. You're not afraid of the fire. You honor the king. There's a fourth man that comes in every time. Yeah. Yeah. So when you come out of the fire, all you see is more passion, not smell of smoke and burning. Can you tell that my mother was sick for 40 years and died early? Can you tell that my wife was in a coma with life support and severe brain damage, identity crisis, and wouldn't come to church? My boy ran off in drugs and my girl made a bad decision for about 8 years. Can you see all that when you look at me? See, we all have stories. If you let that story matter more, then what matters most won't reign in your life. See, you can't see any of that. You're not supposed to. Honestly, if we get real about that song, it as well, that's what it means. You have a higher priority in your life than everything working the way you wish. And that's called true humility and true faith. And if you stand there, you'd be amazed how grace and mercy kicks in. So my son is doing great. My daughter's married and doing great and has a family. My wife is doing better than I can ever remember. So everything's restored. Everything. But a few years back, it looked like a bomb blew up on the surface. And you know, well, you can't steward your own house. What's wrong with your family? And all of a sudden, the parents letting the children's decisions reflect on them and their parenting. Now a parent's condemned, and now they're scared, and they're praying and interceding, calling it prayer and intercession, and it's just fretting and fearing. They're not shining. They're rendered unproductive. Who knows that story? Nope, that's not the gospel. You don't let where your children aren't decide where you are. You let who Jesus is decide where you are so you can see your children clear and pray from a powerful place. Yeah? Honestly, guys, because I was in the shoes, I can talk this plain. You don't even let your wife in a coma stop the gospel. The gospel's still the gospel. Even if she slips away, she's all okay. The most I lose is physical time, and it's real. It's physical. It's loss. But all the more reason to run and see that life's fragile and stay sober and run well into Him. You get what I'm saying? Wonder if Satan really does believe that we don't love God, we just need God, and he's out to prove it. Wonder if he's out to put a little pressure on the things that we make idolatries, that we make matter more than live in the kingdom. Wonder if he locates the reason that we're really Christians and he starts pressing that thing. Wonder if you walk around and you say stuff like this, "Well, if something would ever happen to one of my children, I'd just die. It would just be over for me. I couldn't stand it. I love my children." And you start talking like that, and all of a sudden it just looks like something's going to go wrong with your kids and you're done. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. See, none of those things are legit. They're all idolatries, and you're finding your identity through something other than truth. I promise you, God never gave you the blessing of children at the expense and cost of who God is. He gave you children in light of who he is. So you can always, in everything, model his image. Are you with me? Come on, this stuff is healthy, man, because it's solid and strong. There's always an answer in him. So we can live this way. We got a lot of sessions. It's 20, it's quarter after 20 after 9. You know I'm from the East, right? It's 20 after 11 to me, so... You have no reason to be tired. I mean, you can see how I'm wearing out, right? You can see I'm really toning down here. I'm just like, "Well, guys, it's getting late." Not. So I got a 2-hour jump on you. So at a 20 after 11, I don't want to hear any complaining. No, I'm just kidding. I'll try to get you out of here soon. We got a long day tomorrow if you come back, if I didn't run you off. And even if it did run you off, I got you thinking about some things. And even if you're fuming mad, Holy Spirit will speak about these things to you. This is good. It's the kingdom of God. It's as if a man scatters seed. I just... I just put it out. That's how I feel when I get up to preach. I just... If you just keep doing that all night, you hit everything in the room. It's like there's nothing that's not hit. It's like, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in the spirit. It's like, just, you hit everything. I don't know what's wrong with me right now. Intercessors, pray. Come back. Dan, come back. The gospel just makes me happy, guys, that God would love us so much, that he would see a destiny, a purpose, a potential, and a future in our lives, that he would pay the price of his son to redeem it. Don't ever make this thing a mind-boggling mystery, like, why would he die for me? See, when we have that thought, we haven't preached the gospel. We've preached a mystery. This thing is not about your sin, it's about your purpose and potential. Nobody pays a high price for nothing. Get real with me. If you write the check, you believe what you're purchasing is well worth the price. I know us. We're bargain hunters. We're two-for-oners. Buffet all you can eat. Sale price, 30% off. Our eyes open when it's 40% off. Ain't no man in here that ever went to buy a car and didn't try to knock them down a little. And when you come home, you think you got the best deal in town. There's no man that would have walked into a car lot and said, "You want 15.5 for that car?" "Yep, 15.5. I'll make a little commission off of it. I got pretty much invested in it, but 15.5 will do her. Dude, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 17. Nobody does that. But he shed the blood of his son. How do you value that? How do you put a price tag on that? He shed the blood of his son to redeem and purchase you and me. Guys, it doesn't speak of our sin, it speaks of our value. No preacher in my life ever told me that Jesus died on the cross to redeem my value. They always said he died on the cross because I was a sinner. He had to die because I sinned, but he didn't die to leave me a sinner. He died to get the lie off of me, to get the truth back in me and on me. The cross is all about our potential. Look, the cross doesn't expose your sin. It removes your sin to expose your value, purpose, and potential. So people say, well, I can't imagine why God would love me. He loves what he created you to be. He loves what you look like when he's in you and you're surrendered. He loves you and him being one, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he paid a price to redeem that truth. And we've made it all about eternal life instead of life right here and now. So if you haven't been living that way, you can make the switch. And you can go home tonight, lay on your bed and say, yeah, no more making this all about me. Help me, Lord, and teach me and continue to teach me how to live selfless, humble before you and humble before men, and make this all about your kingdom. And get bold, like Holy Spirit taught me to be bold 22 years ago, and pray things with nobody listening like this. It's funny now, I kind of laugh, because I think if some pastors would have heard me praying this way and just well-intended people, they would, that light's amazing. They would have probably said, now, brother, you got to face reality. You don't want to pray that way. You're going to let yourself down. I would pray like this. Father, I thank you. My days of discouragement and frustration, strife and stress are over. God, I put it all off. You never made me to be those things. They're all part of the lie. They're all part of self-centered thinking and living. God, I yielded myself to you. I gave myself to you. And I thank you. Who you are is vibrant inside of me. God, I thank you. I'm a tree ripe for the picking. And on me hang the fruit of everything that you are. And men can eat of me and be fulfilled and satisfied. God, I thank you. You've changed my life, my reason for being, and everything about me. Thank you for new life. That's prayer. And all of a sudden you enjoy going to work when you used to dread it. And all of a sudden you enjoy shining. And all of a sudden you do your work unto God. And all of a sudden it's not a grindstone, a dread, and just some duty and obligation that makes you half mad at your family because you got to work and support and they're not, and they're spending too much, whatever. Stuff happens, guys. All of a sudden you have a right view on life. And it's all about him. I promise you, it's not out of bounds and out of balance to say you can live encouraged every day. God's the God of all hope. And he sees and knows everything all the time. He's omniscient, guys. He's the God of all hope. Yeah. I mean, maybe he doesn't have cable or didn't see CNN. I don't know. But he's still the God of all hope. We can live like that. You can let your light so shine. So I'm not a big altar call guy, but I'll tell you what I am doing. I'm going to pray something corporate over you, and then we're going to pray for the sick. Is that okay? Is it okay if we pray for the sick? You know why I want to pray for the sick? Because of the forgiveness of sins. He says, by his stripes we are healed. There's a major connection between the forgiveness of sin and the healing of the sick. We pray for the sick because they're sick. But faith inspires us to pray for the sick because our sins are forgiven and we've been redeemed through the Son. And we eat of his flesh and we drink of his blood and we receive life. And anything that came through the fall of man is removed because everything's restored through the rise of Christ. You get it? It's called redemption, brought back, bought back to original value. Yeah? So let me pray something. Hey, no, you're good. I usually, when we pray for the sick, and you stay up here, I usually, when we pray for the sick, I say, no, I don't want any worship team. I don't want any. They beat me to the punch. I'm going to let you up here. There's a reason I do that. No, I like you guys. I'm going to let you up here. You done won my heart. But here's why I say it. Because I want to encourage people. And we'll preach it all weekend, so it's fine. You guys are only here tonight yet, aren't you? Are you leading any other night, or is it just tonight? See, we're going to let you up here. Stay where you're at. I usually say, no, I don't need any worship. I don't want any. I said, I love it. I love the whole accompaniment. But we teach all the time just walking in love and being like Jesus wherever you are. You'd be pumping gas. And instead of just being to yourself like we've been taught, you could actually peek your head around the pump and say, "Hey, man, how you doing?" You say, "Well, that's not our culture. You're kingdom of God way before you're anything else." Don't limit yourself to culture. You're kingdom of God before you're whatever culture. But I'm serious. You could be pumping gas and just say, "Hey, man, how you doing?" "All right. Wonder what you're up to, eh?" "How you doing today?" All of a sudden, just because you make contact, you might get a little discernment. You might get a word of knowledge. You might not. You might just ask a straight question. You get a word of knowledge, that's a given. That's fun. You say, "Man, is something going on in your hip? I feel like your hip's been really bothering you. What do you know about my hip? Do I know you? How do you know about my hip? I'm not even walking." "No, I just feel like your hip. It's the left side. What's going on?" "Dude, you're freaking me out. How do you know about my hip?" It's fun when that happens. It's fun. I could hold you here for hours and tell you story after story like that. Why? Because 22 years ago, I got done living for myself. I got done being self-conscious, afraid of men, worried about what people think. Now, I'm not saying, "Well, I don't care what people think." I'm not saying that. Because your name is important. Your reputation in that sense is it's to have a good name in the eyes of men is more valuable than any gold or silver. So I'm not talking about being repulsive and offensive and saying, "Whatever, I don't care what people think." I'm talking about snap judgments, presumptions. Somebody looking at me and thinking I'm cuckoo when I know I'm not. Stop. When you're praying for them and they're still trying to figure you out. You get what I'm saying? You got to grow beyond that because you know your motive's pure. You're sincere. You care about them and you believe God's real. So their lack of understanding shouldn't trump your revelation. You should never let what they don't see decide what you do see, since He's the light of the world. You follow me? So it's just simple. So the reason I say about the worship, because I'm going to get you guys involved here in a minute when we pray for the sick, and it'll be fun. I'm going to get you involved because it's simple and you can't go wrong, and we'll teach a little bit. But the reason I had always said about the worship thing, because when you're leaning around the gas pump, you don't have little Miss Amazing back here singing with all her heart behind you, backing you up. When you're walking through a Walmart parking lot or whatever parking lot, I don't know what's up here. Is there even Walmarts up here? You got Walmart up here? Way up here? Saskatchewan? Walmart is rocking. You don't have these guys following you through Walmart parking lot. Man, that would be cool, wouldn't it? You'd be like, you'd just feel it, wouldn't you? You'd be like, "Fire! Cha! Yeah!" That would be pretty cool. But honestly, sometimes it's just that thought. What are they thinking? Is this me? Is this God? A little bit of tendencies. So we say back home and teach all the time. My buddy Todd White, some of you know who he is. He's just my friend. And he's an amazing, good guy. We say Christianity is like a Nike commercial. You just do it. You might not be feeling it. You might be nervous. But you know they're worth His blood and you believe the gospel. So just do it. And you see them hurting. I mean, they're walking to their car. They're like, you've seen that over and over in your life. True? You just address it. You walk up and say, "Excuse me. Wow, you're in a lot of pain." "Oh, man. Yeah." And they tell you. They'll tell you. They usually tell you. You say, "Well, listen, I ask straight up." Sometimes Todd does the sneak-in thing. He'll say, "Man, can I just see your hand for a minute?" And they're like, "Huh? What?" They think he's going to read their palm. He says, "Can I just see your hand?" And when they reach out their hand, they usually go like that. You just take the side of the finger, real non-offensive. "Father, I just thank you for your amazing love. And God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, be healed, pain you leave, bam, bam, whatever fits." Because of stepping out like that, we've watched countless people change right in the moment. We've seen probably more than I can remember not change. That's what we're afraid of. And we don't talk about it much. And that's why the majority of Christians don't pray for the sick, because they're afraid nothing will happen. And because you don't pray for the sick, you already have what you're afraid of. You got nothing. So if love never fails, why fail to love? If the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed, how about planting some? Let's not turn faith into a point in time. Let it be a position of the heart. If we lay hands on the sick, they shall. Wonder if you believe that and it's not a cop out. Wonder if you're sincere and you actually believe if I could just release faith, God could do something. Don't be afraid of them saying, nope, still hurts. I'd be more afraid of not sowing seed. Because the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed. Some people reap where they haven't even. Some sow, some water, and God gives the increase. So why don't you just be an amazing Christian farmer? I saw a lot of farmland coming in on the plane. I was like, I didn't even know if there was people. It says, preach to every creature. I didn't know what my audience was going to be. I was looking out the plane and I'm like, I know I'm going to the right airport, but I don't see no city. I see farmland in squares. It's just squares. And there's a farm. There's a farm. And there's a farm. Wow. And I didn't see no people. So you know something about farming. You got to sow if anything's ever going to grow. So you got to take the time to love people. The worst that can happen is nothing, and you're not believing nothing. You're believing I love you. And you're going to teach them the love of God by caring. I wonder if you're sincere and you don't sell them nothing and you pray for them and you leave and they don't even really feel any better, but you walk away sincere and don't sell them nothing. You know what I mean? And they go, huh, that's strange. There's no catch. They didn't invite me nowhere. They didn't try to get me to recite a prayer. They didn't try to get me to sign nothing. They didn't pass a plate. It's almost like they really cared about me. I wonder if they start thinking that and the Spirit of God comes on them because you sowed a seed. And he whispers to their heart and says, I've cared about you from the beginning. And now they're having an encounter with God because you sowed a seed. Do you ever think like that? Or are we just concerned about how we're going to feel or how we're going to look? You can tell I got over how I'm going to look a long time ago. The only thing I get concerned of is some of you say, I don't want to ever get like that, Lord. I ain't listening to a thing he says. Because if I listen to him and you make me like that, just be the best you. Now go ahead and be the best me. Amen. It's just the gospel wants to give us a new mindset, a new perspective, a new motive. So let me pray something over you, and then we're going to pray for the sick here. I'm sorry. Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you for people from all over. They really are from all over. I met so many people from the east, the west, the north. They're all over. So God, there's a lot of influence and a lot of region represented in this room. And I'm just asking you to sow mightily into the hearts of these people. And God, bring a great and fruitful increase. Lord, I'm praying for family peace. I'm praying for family restorations. I'm praying, God, for restoration in relationships, big time. I'm praying for fathers and sons and mothers and sons and fathers and daughters, just a restoration across the board through the simple truth of becoming love. I'm praying that you would pour out a grace tonight on the heart of these people, that no one would yell, butt it away and justify the flesh, that no one would grow weary in well-doing, but every man would be held accountable in your presence through the truth that I can live this apart from any factor in my life. I'm going after this thing in God. Father, I pray you inspire us, you stir us, and you burn this truth in us, and let it be all we see and all we can think of and all we can become. Deep in my heart, Lord, I believe that becoming love's what'll change the world. start with us right here. Let this room have a lot to do with the love you spread across Canada. And let us really take to heart what you're crying out from the rooftops. And let us let nothing else matter more. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. Yeah, if you guys want to play something just soft, sweet, I'm not sure about a song right this minute, but just play something sweet. I'm going to do something here, and we're going to, and then at some point when they start praying, whatever song you guys want to do, I'll just turn you loose, okay? Yeah. We're going to pray for the sick tonight, and I want everybody to get involved, okay? Years ago, I'd get invited to churches because I would line everybody up and pray for you. I remember being in churches, and it just, here's what it does. It impresses people, and then it makes you a hero. So people recognize giftings. The intention of God was never to put a gift on a pulpit to minister to 1,000 of our own. The purpose of the gift and the grace on the gift is to reproduce that grace and multiply that gift for the work of the gospel. The office of a prophet isn't just to stand in a conference of 1,500 and prophesy over 1,000 of people. It's to actually impart a grace and teach the people to walk in a level of prophecy. So that we all have inspired words for others. Not just get a word of our own. So that we all feel empowered to lay hands on the sick, not just get hands laid on us. Are you following me? So a long time ago, I would flow a certain way. You don't know me that way. People, I was getting invited to churches when I was 9 months old in the Lord. I was speaking in churches. I've been 22 years in now. I wasn't even a year old in the Lord. I was guest speaking at churches. It's kind of a strange story. It's the way God was flowing. It's what I was aware of. And I had fun doing it. And years in, the Lord said, hey, what you're doing and how you're pursuing me and what you're walking in is great in your personal life. I sit on planes. I have so much fun. People actually ask me how I'm doing. And it's so good that I'm hanging in there, man. Just hoping my flight's on time and don't miss my connection. I was kind of wondering how I got stuck in this middle seat, but oh well. No, none of that's ever my conversation. You ask me how I'm doing, I'm probably going to have to tell you. And it's going to be your fault because you started it. I'm like a human pool cord doll. How are you doing? Man, I better move on. The Lord said a lot of years ago, he said, who are you multiplying? How are you empowering the people with what you're understanding to live and experience and see some of the things you've been able to see? I said, I'm not. I haven't even been thinking that way. He said it just like this in my heart. How about thinking that way? And I said, okay. So for a lot of years, I've been thinking that way. That's why you see Todd the way you see Todd. That's why you see other people back home. We have a whole lot of people. Todd is gifted in an arena that he's gifted in. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of people that I know that walk in love, move in words of knowledge, and live like Jesus. They might not be on TV and they might not have a ministry, but they have a sphere of influence. And they're touching it mightily in God. We need people like Todd with a grace to be a voice all over. He's just awesome. He's just made for it. I can still remember when Todd first came to healing services. How many know who Todd is? My buddy Todd White. A lot of you, right? You can't not really know who he is. You don't even have to be a believer and you're like, hey, you're that guy. He just went to pray for some guy. He was telling me and the guy's like, I know who you are. And the guy was mad. You know, I know who you are. It's just funny. I can still remember Todd. He didn't have any dreads. He actually had a crew cut. He's a handsome fella. He come running up. He's redeemed. He's excited. Jesus. And he's coming to healing services. And I'm teaching the public 2 times a week. We'd pray for the sick, open to the public. Most of the time, he'd have a lot of people weren't even born again. They just were sick. and there was hope there, and they were hearing words of mouth testimonies. So Todd would sit like a little kid and just listen to me preach and do his, he just cries. He still does it to this day. I just did a Power and Love. He just sits there and he just cries. He's just awesome. So he's sitting there crying and I'm preaching and we prayed for people and things happened and he would come up and he'd go, dude, this is real. I say, yeah, it's real. Man. So then this guy gets healed of a strain of leukemia that's very rare. And his wife stood up and read the email the next week and cried from the doctor. And they couldn't find any of it in his bone marrow. And it was terminal. This guy, according to medical science, had to die. And it was gone. And Todd came up and it was like a breaking point for him. He said, dude, this is awesome. Like if it works here, it should work out there. I said, well, it's not a method. Jesus' love is everywhere. You can pray for the sick anywhere, buddy. I've seen a bunch of people healed out on the streets and in the malls and stuff. But he took it to, he said, dude, I'm on it. I'm on it. And he just took off. And I mean, he prayed for 6, 8, 10 people a day for months. He had leaders and pastors sitting him down trying to straighten him out. You're an unbridled horse. You need to find balance and discipline. If it was God's will to heal everybody you're praying for, they'd be healed. You're misrepresenting the gospel. You name it, he was told it by people that didn't understand. And they were all interpreting the truth through his results instead of the gospel and his heart. And he'd call me and he'd be like, man, so-and-so, and they're telling me, and what... And it was just funny because I'd just cheer him on and I wouldn't attack anybody. I would just, because you got to be careful with that. People will power play. Well, Dan said, I would just say, well, what are you going to do, man? I'm going to keep praying for the sick. I think you should. I think he turned out good. I do. I think he turned out good. He's fun to hang around with. It makes you cry. I've traveled through the airport with him more times than I can remember. It's going to make me cry now. Because I watched him go from suicidal to possessed by Jesus. I've been through the airport with Todd already to where by the end of the weekend, just the airport, you can't recall the number of faces and people you saw cry and get touched by the Lord. Just passing through the airport. He's that off the hook. Just, it's all he thinks. And he's a great example. He took what he saw in the healing services and went for it. He had nobody say they were healed for 3 months. Nobody shouted hallelujah on the streets for 3 months. You had 6, 8, 10 people a day times 3 months. How many people he must have prayed for? And one day, some guy goes, hey, it's changed. He had a word of knowledge and the guy's arm changed. And he's like, whoa. Guys, you're talking hundreds of people he prayed for sincerely. And nobody said, whoa, I'm healed. Now, that doesn't mean anybody didn't get healed or woke up healed or whatever. But nobody just said, whoa, I'm changed. How'd he stay motivated? The truth, Jesus said, if you believe, you'll lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So he said, I'm a believer. I'm laying hands on the sick. People say, well, who's getting healed? Well, I'm not really sure, but man, I'm doing what I'm supposed to because I believe. And then all these people started to criticize him and tell him to stop. I'm sure glad he didn't stop. A whole lot of other people are too. So tonight we're going to pray for the sick. There's some people you'll pray for in your life that if they were healed in the moment, they wouldn't know anyway. They'd need time to tell. Who knows what I mean? You'd need a test to be run. You'd need to check your blood. You need a scope done. Or you just need to go to work and do what you do and see what happens or go upstairs or something. You know what I'm saying? There's situations. So you might be in a mall in a line, checking out, and the person in front of you says, oh man, I'm just so glad I don't have a migraine today. And you hear him talking. You've heard this stuff, guys. And they're saying, man, I've been getting a migraine like once a week for the last 6 weeks. I didn't get one yet. I'm just wondering what day. Do you ever hear that kind of stuff? That's when you tap him and say, hey, wasn't eavesdropping. I just couldn't help but to hear what you said about that migraine. And here's how I am. I'm just real forthright and honest. I don't try to sneak in. I just say, listen, I won't make a scene. I'm hoping you'll let me pray for you. Please don't say no. Man, you grab my heart. I can tell that thing's been hurting you. Please don't say no. Wonder if it never comes back again. That's what I'm believing. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not trying to talk you into the Lord. And some people say, oh, no, I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I was like, okay, good. Well, listen, I'm doing this for you. I'm not asking for a thing. Please don't say no. Can I pray? Yeah, most of the time they say yeah, if you just ask sincere. And what's it look like? Father, I just thank you right now for their life, and I thank you for your unstoppable love. Migraine, don't you ever come back again. Not one trace of pain ever. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Guys, you can do that and be sincere. And you can open a door for the kingdom to come. Yeah? You say, but yeah, but wonder if they get the headache in 2 days. Well, you're already thinking that before you even prayed. Come on, that's why you don't pray. No, pray. And if that thought comes, say, you know what? That's not even my thought right now, because let's just play with it. Even if the pain comes in 2 days, you're growing in a sincerity. You're growing in an expression. People say, well, you're misrepresenting the gospel, because then they are. No, no, they aren't expecting to get healed most of the time anyway. Let's just talk about it. But they can't deny your sincerity. They can't deny that you're pursuing a truth you're convicted by. And wonder if it never does come back. Now they got to deal with that. You see what I'm saying? So some sow, some what? And it's God who gives the increase. But if we don't sow, why would we ever think anything will grow? Come on. If the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed and you never sow, why would you think something would grow? Let's start sowing into our communities. Let's start sowing into people's lives. Let's do it tonight. And let's jumpstart so we can all see what it's like and that it's not hard and that we can do this and that God will show up, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, there's a whole lot of things going to happen here in a few minutes. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. No, I'm telling you, I'm not being arrogant. It's because of him. He's the Lord. And there's a thing about knowing his nature, knowing his heart, knowing his love that's humbling and amazing. So I'm not being arrogant when I say, and ain't nothing nobody can do about it, but it's true. It ain't nothing. You try to keep Lazarus from coming out of the tomb. It ain't going to happen. He's coming out. And there's something we got to grow in. To where these aren't just Bible stories we admire, they're our lives lived. You follow me? You weren't there when I was there and watched my wife come out of a coma. And they took an EEG and there was no brain damage. The seizure lasted 1 hour and there was no residuals of a seizure. That's medically impossible. Yeah. See what's wrong with me? It's not just a confession, it's an expression. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So here's what we're going to do real quick. I'm going to speed this up a little because I don't do anything too fast. It's 10 to 12 to me, so be okay. If you're here tonight and you're sick in your body or have a condition in your body that if you were healed, there'd be no way to check, testify other than faith in your heart, you wouldn't really be able to know. Time would have to reveal that. That's the only people right now I want to stand up real quick. Don't take long. Please participate. You got a condition that if you were healed, time would have to tell. A test, something, time, a hard day at work. You'd have to drive your truck for 10 hours and see, I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm saying if that's you. Just stand to your feet real quick because you're going to run into this in your life, people. And it's the same faith as anything else you pray for. It's the same faith. Here's what we have to start believing. It's the will of God to heal, restore, and bring life. Why? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ. You just have to start believing that. If you don't believe that, you're going to struggle with faith. You just have to believe, you know what? God, you want me to believe. You never told anybody anything different. They came to you, you healed them. They touched you, they were healed. That's all I have to go on. You never said, I can't heal you. God doesn't want me to. Even when your disciples prayed and the boy wasn't healed, you stepped in and healed him and corrected them. Really, that's in your Bible. Maybe we'll talk about it this week. So right now, real quick, if you're just sitting near him, you don't have to get up and move all around, but just if you're sitting near somebody standing, just tap them. Say, here, I want to hold your hand. I want to believe with you. I want to take your hand. We're not going to be long with this. I'm going to do this quick, but it won't be without results. You're going to need time to tell. That's the only people we're praying for. Now listen, all I want you to do if you're being prayed for is just believe God loves you. How can I do that, Dan? He sent his son. Christ crucified is, I love you. Christ on the cross is the I love you from God, period. You can't say losing your job, your car not running right, can challenge God's love. Man, I don't know what's going on. I thought God loved me. He does. He sent his son. It's already settled. And from that place, you're rooted and grounded. And from that place, faith works. Amen? So all I want you to do, if you stood up, is just believe for the next minute or so when we pray, wow, you really do love me. You're for me. You're not against me. This condition has no reflection against your love. Your love is revealed through Christ. Thanks. You're doing a good thing in me. Learn to be relational. Learn to accept his love. Learn to believe God, okay? The people pray, and all I want you to do tonight, we didn't even ask them what's wrong or why they stood. Just be healed in Jesus' name. Be completely whole. No more weakness, no more sickness, no more pain. Jesus' name. Whatever, wherever, whatever, just a command form prayer that would cover the bases of why they might have stood is all I'm asking you to do. Now, who knows, we can do that and be sincere, right? That takes the pressure off of you. You're not trying to pray the right prayer. You're believing the right thing. I don't know if you guys know this. This is liberating. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. It's your faith in what he accomplished. Be honest. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you got more self-conscious about what you were going to say and pray and trying to pray it right and powerful? That's a good way to be self-conscious and assure that very little's happening. It's not about that. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably enough when there's a revelation. Stretch forth your hand. I see. Lazarus, come forth. Do you get it? Are you ready? I just want you to speak over them right now. Be whole. Be healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Speak it over them and be sincere and believe God. Father, we thank you. These conditions will never come back. Complete wholeness in your people. In the authority of Jesus' name, healing all through this room. God, we just thank you that time will tell and these things will not return. Say it over them. Never again another symptom. Never again another episode. Complete wholeness in Jesus' name. Now, if they're praying for you, just thank God that he loves you. And thank God that he makes all things new. Amen? I think we're done with that one. Amen. Good. Grab your seats real quick. We'll do this quick. It's just a teaching thing. I hope I'm not too late for you guys. Am I too late? Is it? I don't know what you guys are like up here. I'm an eternal guy. Like I live in heaven. So seriously, if I sleep 5 hours, that's a long time. I go to bed at night. People say, "Do you even sleep?" I say, "Oh yeah, I go to bed by faith." And they're like, "What?" I say, "Yeah, I lay down in bed." I say, "Lord, I just think." And it's like a battery charger. After about 5 hours, the light goes, "Dook!" Turns green on. And I'm ready to roll. So here's what I need you to do. Let's do this quickly. If you're sick in body tonight, and you have something going on in your body that's less than wholeness, especially if you're prescription, maintaining, limitations, bone on bone, herniated, arthritic stuff. You know what I'm saying. And if you were healed, you would definitely be able to tell. You could, without hype and emotion, you could actually check your body and tell if it changed. I want you to stand up right now, please. And if you are here and can't stand, I need you to go like this and we'll make sure we get to you. Just, okay, I got a guy in the front right here. He has a walk in front. It'd be best if he just stays sitting. So now listen, the people standing, Do I have anybody else? I feel like I need a handful, just a handful more. I don't know why. I just saw, yeah, like eight or so people needing to stand quick. Don't make me go fishing. I'm actually a very good fisherman. I don't know why you wouldn't just stand up. Don't make me pull anything out. Just stand up, please. Yeah. Anything less than wholeness. You got something in your body that if it would change. And some of us, we've stood up before and nothing ever happened. So we kind of intervowed, I ain't never standing up again because I never get healed anyway. If that's you, please stand up. Faith isn't a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win or lose. It's not maybe God will, maybe God won't. We believe He heals. We're released in faith. We lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. There's three things I experience in my life. The first one, I want to see a whole lot more. You know, we call them the immediately's and the suddenly's. You pray for the sick and their body changes. Who knows, you want to see that more? I've seen that a whole lot in my life. I haven't seen it enough, but I've seen it a whole lot. Way too much to change my mind. Then I've prayed for people and I see people get better. Who's ever seen that? They say, wow, it's not as bad as it was. Wow, it's not as painful. Wow, I can move it better. Wow, I can bend. But they don't feel all the way. In my life, if I pray for you and we have momentum and it's changed a little bit, that's a no-brainer. Let's just pray again. And we're not asking God to heal. Pain you leave, arthritis you go. Jesus' name. I've learned something. Better plus better plus better sooner or later equals what? Wholeness. So if somebody feels better and they're on the street heading to work and they say, no kidding, man. I've had people try to convince me. They're like, no, really, I ain't just saying it. It don't hurt like it did. I say, no, that's the whole plan. I'm thinking that. No, but serious. I say, can we pray one more time? They're like, yeah. I've never had anybody say, nah. They're like, yeah. You see what I'm saying? And then there's this third thing we don't like to talk about, but let's talk about it. You pray for something and it doesn't seem to change. Now, we've messed that one up bad because we think we have to attach all kind of analogies and theologies to that. But why don't we just attach the finished work to that and just keep on moving? Why don't we just say, you know what? I'm laying my hands on you and I'm praying and I'm believing. And they say, well, you know, it's no different. For one thing I've learned is if we're believers, we have one response. Father, I thank you that you're doing a work in me, that you love me and you're making all things new. God, your love is unstoppable and amazing. Thank you for what you're doing in me. If you turn faith into a point in time, you will never live by faith. Are you following me? Countless people we've prayed for and nothing seemed to change. And in a moment it changed. At night it changed. In the morning it changed. Sometimes in 2 days. Dwight just told me a testimony where he was praying over his own arm and nothing. And then in the morning, he woke up and he was walking through his day and he went, what? And he realized it was completely whole and he couldn't even bend it straight. It's just fun stuff. Why? Faith isn't a point in time. It's a position of your heart. So there's three things I experience when we pray for the sick. Completely healed, no brainer, wow. Somewhat healed, somewhat changed, yay, let's pray again. And then we see some people that say nothing changed. If we see all three of those tonight, I'll walk you through it. It won't take long. And we're going to learn something, and a lot of things are going to change in this room. How's that? If nothing changes in your body, see, you're not used to hearing people talk like this. If nothing changes in your body, don't disconnect and don't write this thing off. I want you to listen to a couple testimonies. Say, wow, God, you're awesome. You're a healer. You're doing a work in this room. Thanks for doing a work in me. And then recheck your body after you hear a couple testimonies. You watch what happens if you don't disconnect. It's really fun. I've been in meetings like this with this many folks. It's like popcorn. Things just start changing that weren't changing in the beginning because people won't let go and let the circumstance decide their faith. They're going to let the finished work settle that. Are you guys with me? Okay. Raise your hand if you stood for prayer. Raise your hand real high. Just one hand. We just don't want to lose you in the crowd. Now listen, the people sitting, you don't have to, but I'm really encouraging you to. Why don't you get out of my seat, out of your seat and be part of my prayer team? Just try to get one-on-one till we get everybody covered. Just have fun with it. If you're nervous, I want you on my team. Go grab somebody and say, hey, I'm claiming you tonight. Hey, you're mine. You might have fun and say, hey, I never did this before. Be encouraged. It'll be awesome. See, it's not your experience, it's your faith and trust in God and His love. Grab a person, put your hand down when they claim you. When you get claimed, put your hand down. I only want hands up if nobody claimed you. Hey guys, we got some people to cover. Can some people sit and help me get to some of these hands, especially here in the middle? I know we got enough people to cover this. Don't tag team. Don't double up. Spread out until we cover everybody. Put your hand down if you're not if you're claimed. If you're not claimed, let me see you. Nobody claimed you yet, ma'am? I got a lady. You got her? I got a lady holding a baby. She needs somebody to pray and a young girl in the aisle. Can somebody help me? Good. Thanks, girls. Woo, you're all running. I got a hand over here. Can somebody get over there? Do I have an available person? Yeah, there's a guy heading over. Yeah, go ahead, man. You'll see him. He's back there. Oh, they're running. Is everybody covered? Does anybody need somebody to stand with them yet? We got everybody? Okay, do this. Take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds. I'm the one that takes long here. You take 3 seconds, and then I'll look back up here. Tell the person that's going to pray with you why you stood up, if it's not too personal. Just tell them, herniated disc, degenerate knees, degenerate hip, cancer. Just tell them why you stood up. 3 seconds, you should be able to tell them. Okay? You get it? You got it? Okay. Now here's the deal. I'm only going to give you guys about 6 seconds to pray. Okay? No, that's for your sake. You ought to be thankful for that. You can't get self-conscious in 6 seconds. You won't strive. You can't even get in unbelief, I don't think, in 6 seconds. If I let you pray too long, you might try to pray right, hard. You might go in the name of Jesus and think it's the amplification of His name. But if you only pray 6 seconds, you only have time for this. If they told you they had degenerate knees, you be healed in the authority of Jesus' name. Every pain you leave, total mobility in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. See? If they told you they have a torn rotator cuff and they can't lift their arm. I saw a lady this past weekend. That's the best she could lift her arm right there. This little girl prayed for her. She was going, what? Whoa. And she was all fired up. It was just a 6 second prayer. Shoulder you be healed. Rotator cuff be healed. Total mobility. No pain. In Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds. And not get in trouble. And not get self-conscious. Yay? So in 6 seconds, I'm going to tell you, okay, guys, wind it down. When I say that, I just mean acknowledge God's love for them. Father, because you love them, in Jesus' name. You just do the Christian amen thing. That just means so be it. Amen? So be it. Amen. Okay? Y'all ready? After we close and I say wrap it up and they amen, I want you to thank God if you stood for prayer that He really does love you tonight. And that He paid a price for your redemption, okay? And then what I want you to do, without exaggeration, I want you to check your body. Don't exaggerate tonight. I don't want you to say the right thing to make the big-eyed young girl that prayed for you feel good. If she's looking at you, don't be like, don't lie. Revelation 19 says, you lie, you fry. We're standing to get healed, not fry. Come on, man. I don't want exaggeration. We want you well. So I don't want you to save face. You know what I mean? I just want you to check your body. As soon as you know it's changed, make sure you go like this, okay? That's all I need you to do. And I'll coach you along. But I want you to go like this as soon as you know you're healed. And you take your time. And I don't want exaggeration. I don't want to snap judgment. I want you to make sure it's different, okay? You're going to have fun with this. And Jesus is excited that you stood up. And He's excited that you ran to them to stand with them. I promise you. Because this is the body of Christ in action. And this is designed to empower you to begin to live this way and realize, you know what? I can do this. This is simple. And He wants me to. Are you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay. Are you ready? 6 seconds. Go, give them the kingdom. 6 seconds. Yeah, it's good. It's awesome, guys. Thank you, Father. Okay, wind it down. Thank God that He loves them. Receive His love. Believe He loves you. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, wrap it up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, God. Okay, check your bodies for me all over the room. I need you to check your bodies. As soon as you know you're healed, I need you to go like this. I want to find out what's going on in the room. As soon as you know it changed, wave your arm. Go ahead. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Wave your arm. You know it changed for sure? Good. Yeah? For sure? For sure. For sure. Go ahead. Let me see your arms. Wave your hands if you know your body changed in that 6 second moment. Wow. That's for sure? Yeah? Come here. Come on. It's good. We got a lot of arms. But she's crying. I like that. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. Just don't be, yeah, this is good. Give Jesus glory. Just talk. Let's just bring the music down just a little bit. You guys are great, but just, I want to be able to hear her. No, this is good. The tears are awesome. Go ahead. Talk to me. What's going on? You okay? Give her that mic. She'll be all right. We don't mind her crying a little. Did it just change right away?
Oh my gosh, I can move. I got diagnosed with degenerative disc disease.
Can you hear?
And
degenerative disc disease.
And I was actually just at the chiropractor today because I couldn't move properly. I couldn't bend. I couldn't sleep properly. And I was just able to touch my toes.
Who prayed for you? Who prayed for her? Who prayed for her? You girls? So Jesus is in us. So this is real. It cost her something. It didn't sound good. Jesus is Lord. We just pray, believe, receive. We got to keep it simple. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, it's
so you feel changed.
Absolutely no pain at all.
No pain at all. Ah! Stretch your hands to her. Stretch your hands to her. Father, we just thank you right now for wholeness, that this thing would never, ever, ever come back. God, we just thank you that there'd be a revelation of your love released in her life that would surpass anything she's ever known. And God, set her on fire for you. Yeah. Holy Spirit, come and just bless her and minister to her your great love. And thank you. She will never, ever be found in this place again of pain and disease in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It's good. Who else? You know your body changed when we prayed. I know we had a bunch. Let's just do this all at one time. If your body changed when we prayed, go like this. I need to see you. Go like this so we can see. Look around, guys. Who wants to share quick what it was? Somebody. Who wants to share? Somebody over there? Holler it out. Oh, yeah. Well, we got a mic. Run a mic to him, Matt. Thanks, Pastor. Now, listen. If your body didn't change, just listen to this testimony, her testimony. Thank God that He's a healer. And check your body again. And if your body changes after 1, 2, 3 testimonies, I want you to go like this and make sure we know, because I want to call on you quick.
Yeah, my back is, I've had, I have crushed vertebrae.
Crushed my vertebrae.
Lower back, and now I can feel a lot better.
Okay, so what was that like, crushed vertebrae? What's that mean to us? Like, how did that leave your body? What were you experiencing on a daily basis? What was your every moment like?
Well, every time I worked, most times I blew my back out.
Okay.
And then I couldn't go back to work for probably about a month, or depends on how bad
so
I did
you had
it. Yeah.
Downtime a lot because of it. So you're bold enough to take the mic and testify. What changed in your body? What's making you feel like something's different? So we can understand.
When I just finished touching my toes and I
you
never
touched
felt
your
nothing.
Toes.
Yeah.
And you felt fine. Would
yes.
you normally have been able to touch your toes?
No.
You
I could
couldn't
probably go about here, and that was it.
A little past your knees.
Yeah.
When's the last time you actually touched your toes? A long time.
About 2 years ago.
Okay. So you touched them tonight after they prayed, and that's what made you raise your hand, because you did it and you didn't have repercussions and pain?
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to help us understand, so it's not like, okay, his back hurt, now it doesn't hurt anymore. It's always more than that. So you know something's different.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
God's good.
Amen. Yeah, give that mic. Who else wants to share something real quick? Something? You got something? What's going on? You got a mic right there somewhere, girl.
I had a pain and...
Talk right in that mic. They'll turn it up.
It's on. Oh, it is. I had a sharp pain in my on my side, and they prayed for me, and now it feels good.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
Or did it just get less, or is it gone?
No, it is.
It's gone. Do you know what it was from? Has it been ongoing?
For the past couple days, yeah.
Just there?
Yeah.
So the moment they prayed, or right as they were praying, or at some point, it just going.
After they prayed, I still had that pain.
Okay.
When everybody was testifying, I just realized that I didn't have that
pain. Oh, it's just going. Huh. And it's been there for several days, around the clock.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Now you see, guys, we're not hyping the atmosphere. We're not ramping up her favorite song. We're just praying, simple, heartfelt, faith-filled, believe you love us, God, prayers. Isn't that sweet? Anybody else who wants to share something real quick that your body changed that it would bless and help somebody to continue? Yeah, come on, sweetheart. She raised her hand pretty quick.
So for a couple
come
weeks
on up
now,
here. They got to see you. They got to see how awesome you are. Come on. Yeah. Go ahead. Hold that mic up.
I had very bad back pain because I had just been doing some work outside, and it's not normally like this, but I had a lot of knots in my back from my shoulder being out of place and some things, I don't know what they were, muscles. And it was just cracking me, very painful. And often I'd sit, I could feel it in my lower back. And it's like I could hardly stand sitting there this evening as well. And then Anne, and I don't know her name, prayed for me. And then right after that, like I literally felt something happen while they were praying for me. And it was completely gone after.
It's completely gone.
Completely. And it's weird because like...
Do you believe her? Do you really believe her? I believe her. Go ahead. No, this is awesome. So it was really amazing. What?
Because I expected it. Like, well, it should be back there because it's been like this for the last few weeks. Why is it not there? And it's actually gone.
Isn't that awesome? Do you see what's possible? It's the reality of God, and He's a healer. Amen? We get real heady if things aren't changed. Yeah, but what? Why? We're real quick. We're question-driven instead of very answer-conscious. See, faith's not a point in time. So we've got a bunch of people that were healed. Who feels their body changed somewhat, but you didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way, but it's definitely different? Is there anybody in that category? Yeah, thank you, honey. So look, we got a whole bunch in that category too. So we got a bunch of people that said, man, my body changed. And a lot of times it's just late. I take the time and have everybody come up and testify that stuff. But we also, let me see you again. It changed somewhat. Now look around. If that's your person and you're still here, you ought to grab them and say, let's pray again. And you go ahead and just give them another six seconds. Now, somebody will be, oh man, that'll be a bad report right there. He's talking about sex from the pulpit. I do that actually quite a bit, but in a holy way. But give them another six seconds. That's a tongue twister, man. Give them another 6 seconds and see what happens. Who here, we prayed for you, and it seems exactly the same as the first time we prayed, and it didn't change yet. It doesn't seem like anything changed. Hold your hands up. Let me see you. Is your people still here? Is the person that prayed for you still here? If you're here, grab them and put your hand down so I know you still have your person. Is your person still here? Be encouraged. Listen, if we prayed for you and nothing happened, I want you to do one thing when we pray. We're going to give you 6 more seconds. I want you to just thank God that you believe He loves you or He'd have never sent His Son. That's all I want you to do. And I want you guys not to shift or change your prayer. Pray the same thing you believed the first time. Don't shift your prayer. Because see, that's grabbing for straws sometimes, and then it gets into works and we think, oh wow, I need to pray this or that. Nope, you just need to believe God's love for them and that He paid the price for their redemption. So go ahead right now. The people that nothing changed, I want you to pray 6 more seconds over them, please. In Jesus' name. Come on. Believe God. Yeah. He's going to teach us tonight some things. That you never turn faith into a point in time. Okay, go ahead. Wind that down. And say amen. Thank God He loves him and say amen. Just the people who had no change. Just the people that had no change. Check your bodies. Just that group that just raised your hand that had no change and tell me who changed. What changed in the room that time? Let me see your hand if something changed out of that last group. For sure? Did it change somewhat or all the way? Somewhat? Somewhat or all the way? Yeah, you right there. Huh? Did it change? Yeah? And in the back? Who else? Right here? Man, we got four right there together. Maybe we all ought to crowd to that spot of the room. That's what we think. Who else? That group. Nothing changed the first time. We just prayed 6 more seconds and things changed. I got 4. I got 5. I got 6. Is any of you completely changed or is it all a somewhat thing? Or is it better or is it gone? Is any of you completely healed in that group? Okay. So we got momentum. Listen, there's a reason I'm asking this. Watch. The first time we pray for them, nothing changes. We take the same faith, same prayer, same foundation, same truth, and pray again. It's like you're trying to break a hard rock with a hammer. I know you guys. If you had to break this hard rock out of your backyard with a hammer, because there was no way to get rid of it, and it was sticking up out of the ground, and you're trying to break it, and you swing with all your might and hit the top of that rock with a hammer, and it just sits there and looks at you, what are you going to do? Say, well, I guess I'll give up and just put up with the rock. You're going to swing that hammer harder. You're going to try to hit it more square, and you're coming at it. And after about 4 swings, and your wife's, honey, time to eat. I'll be in a minute. Why don't we do that thing spiritually? Listen, so we prayed for the same people for 6 more seconds, the same prayer, and wave your hands if something at least started to change that second time, and nothing the first, but at least the second. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Anybody over here? 18. I got 18 hands that time that changed the second time, somewhat at least, whatever level, we didn't testify yet. But nothing changed the first prayer. Now watch. If we pray and weigh our results and jump to conclusions, we just might be deceived. But wonder if we continue to believe. Wonder if you don't let anything change your heart. Wonder if you leave here tonight and you have one option. Father, you love me and what you're doing in me is amazing. Wonder if you crawl in bed and your hip grabs you like it does every other night and you go, wow, man, I was hoping to be healed tonight. Man, I don't know why I can't receive. Something's got to be blocking my healing. Who knows? That's probably not the way to go. Wonder if you're in your bed and that thing grabs you and you roll over and you say, Father, man, I love you and I appreciate what you're doing in my hip and in my body and in my life. And God, I thank you for that young lady that laid hands on me and prayed and believed, or that young man. And I just agree with redemption and thank you. Your love is unstoppable. Yes. And wonder if you go to bed that way and that's all you know how to think. I bet that's the way your hip's going to change. Are you guys with me? Yes. Now look, 18 people that didn't see anything change the first time, we prayed 6 more seconds and 18 people raised their hands and said, that time, something changed. Now, either they're lying and trying to get me to close. Amen. Who said amen? Or something changed. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you guys. If that was your person and they raised their hand, I'm going to dismiss, but you guys can pray. And you can continue to pray. If your body didn't change as of yet, I'm going to pray something over you right now. And I want you to leave here in one place called faith. Okay? So, Father, right now, any person that didn't have their body change in any way, I just thank you. We've touched it. We've prayed. We believe. And you said they shall recover. So I thank you for healing flowing into their body. I thank you for pains leaving, mobility restored. I thank you, God, you're doing a good work. Father, we just thank you for making people whole. We just thank you for changing lives. So we bless them, Lord. We say, be whole and be healed in Jesus' name. All pain and all sickness, you leave the people in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay, look, this was our first night. Let's pursue love. Let's pursue knowing him more. We're going to be here all day tomorrow, 10, 2, and 7. I'm going to turn it over to Matt. He can close out whatever he needs to. I love you guys. If you can come back, come back. If you want to keep praying for your person a little, you can. But let's keep growing up in Him. Amen? Love you.